together. Father, we know, dear Lord, there's been things in our lives, loss of loved ones, Lord, and sickness, and things that we face, dear Lord, day by day. But we know, Lord, that Thou art able, Lord, to give peace and comfort, dear Lord, through these times, Lord. We know that You can give healing. Father, all we got to do is ask. And You promised in Your Word, Lord, what we ask, that, Lord, You would do. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that You take care of us. You meet the needs for us day by day. Sometimes, Lord, that we don't see the end result. But we do know, Lord, that through all these things that we go through, Lord, there's a lesson somewhere to be learned. And like Brother John said, Lord, help us to use these things, dear Lord, to teach us, Lord, something that we need, and help us to draw closer to You. We pray for all these requests of prayers and ask that, Lord, that You would do in each individual life and heart that's needed. Give healing where healing's needed. Give hope, give strength, Lord, where it's needed. And Father, we know Thou art able. We pray for the teachers this morning. Bless them as they stand. And Father, give to us, Lord, and to others here in the church, Lord, that we need, Father, something we can glean if it's not maybe meant directly for us. But Lord, we can always glean from the Word of God. Bless the upcoming Sunday morning hour, Lord, when we come together again, Lord, as a church, Father, and we hear the preaching of the Word of God, and bless the preachers as they stand, Lord, and give us this morning that bread, Lord, that we need from the Word of God. We just thank You again for all that You do and ask for Your help today, dear Lord, that we would have an open mind and open heart, and Father, that we can take what we receive today and go out and share with others, Lord. Yes. We might see people come, repent, get right, Lord, and see them get saved, Lord, from this wicked, wicked world we live in, Lord, knowing we have a hope of a better place. We thank You for it all now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. As you know, we're dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. And as I've said, and I don't want you to forget it, and repetition is part of learning. It's the most important doctrine for us as individual Christians, looking forward to focusing on the judgment seat of Christ. Because when we do that, it'll help us live a right life according to the Word of God. And last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we looked at those verses 8 through 21, that we are laborers together with God. So we're laboring to attain a plan or a purpose for God. And we know what that is, and we'll look at it in a minute. We are members of this particular local assembly, this church, and the whole body of Christ to work together to get the gospel message out to the lost world, and then to teach and train those that we've won to the Lord, or possibly others that have gotten saved and will come to You for biblical advice. And then in verse 10 we saw that it says that we are to be wise master builders. So we're building as this life goes on. And then in verse 11, it said that when you get saved, you lay a foundation, and that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're building upon that foundation, and our lives are built upon that foundation. And we build three things on that foundation. And hopefully it's gold, silver, and precious stones. Or we choose to live a life of our own satisfaction and gratification in this world. And we'll build wood, hay, and stubble, which of course you know will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. So the choice is yours, the choice is mine. What are we going to build with? What's the building material we're going to use as we build this building? The Bible says there's coming a day, and that day is coming soon for some of us, when that day is going to declare the things that we have done. We tend to forget in this life, as we're going through this life, that one day everything's going to be revealed. Think about that. When you want to do something that is questionable, not necessarily wrong, but questionable, you're not sure, and you go ahead and do it. And we're going to stand one day, and that's going to be revealed. Now, I'm guessing that it's not going to be a secret thing where it's going to be revealed that all the saved people are going to be there when everything is revealed. Do I want things revealed that we've done in this life to be shown publicly? It's something to think about, and hopefully it'll act as a deterrent in what we do when we shouldn't be doing some things that we do and get involved in. Now, we know we're going to have a test, okay? We're going through a test. And it would be ridiculous to think that God would save us, give us eternal life, without any purpose or plan. God has a purpose, God has a plan, and God didn't just make the earth and the people and allow us to be saved just to have something to do, to put something in motion. That's not how God works. He saved you and He saved me to be part of His plan. And simply stated, His plan is this. The judgment seat is there because God is going to reward men and women who got saved, found out what God's plan was, and then for the rest of their lives, worked that plan in their life. That's why there are churches. That's why there are preachers to work that plan. We're here today because we recognize that God has a plan, and we're here today to help God fulfill that plan. God says He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to get born again and then to live for Him the rest of His life, their lives. As I said last week, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But He also said that ye are the light of the world, because He was going back to heaven and the plan was to get the gospel message out to the lost world. And when He went back to heaven, He left us here as the church, the body of Christ, part of Him, to put out the gospel so that we could fulfill God's plan. You think God wants anybody to go to end up in the lake of fire? God is a loving God. That's why He allowed His Son to take my sin, your sin, deposit them in hell, suffer for what would be all eternity for us. He paid the price for our sin. If He paid the price and a person ends up in hell for all eternity, somehow He had to pay that. And in the book of Acts, it says He went to hell to pay for your sin. And if He did all that for us, can you imagine a person standing at the white throne judgment and God saying, "This is what my Son did for you. I came down in the flesh, in the form of a man. I took your sin upon me. I became sin. He became sin. I can't even imagine that. Became sin and went to hell to pay the price for you. And now you're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire because you rejected what I did for you. And it was so easy, just by faith, hearing the Word of God, believing it, and acting upon it. And so he went to went back to heaven. He left us here to get the gospel message out. And that's what the churches are all about. The churches are to be getting the gospel message out. That's their purpose. And then once a person gets saved, they get into the local ministry to be taught the Word of God. And that's what you and I are for, the saved people, the Christians. We're to get the gospel message out. And we'll talk about building upon this foundation. But someone says, what's it mean to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And even more important, how do you have a relationship with God Almighty, basically? And it's very simple. It's very simple. If God is going to judge us at the judgment seat of Christ, and He gave us a plan that we're to fulfill in this life, and the Bible tells us what that plan is, as I said, to get the gospel message out and to teach and train those that have been saved. And don't think that you're not able to teach others. Every one of us, I can almost guarantee it, somebody has come to you with a question about the Bible. And that puts you in a position of being a teacher. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to learn and then not only hold that teaching in, but we're to give it out. Picture it as a sponge in a bucket of water. That sponge will take up some of that water, but eventually that sponge will take in no more. Now, when you take that sponge out and you wring it out, it can take up more. And that's what we're to do. We're to take in the Word of God. We're to learn the Word of God. Then we're to give it out, and we're to learn more. And that's a process that God has for us. We're to learn and we're to give it out. So that's God's plan for us. And He gave us a Bible that tells us about the plan. God is going to judge us one day as to whether we have fulfilled that plan or not. Now, do you really think that God would give us a plan and not give us directions? God doesn't make it tough. We make it tough on ourselves. In fact, not only the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible lays out what to expect there, but He also, and some people disagree with me, but He also going to ask the questions, and He'll take those questions right out of the Bible, and they come out of Job, I think it's 26. There's six basic questions there, and I'll cover them in the future weeks. What are we going to be asked at the judgment seat of Christ? Now, when He gives us that plan, and He gives us the questions that are going to be asked on that exam, how can you fail? Now, Wyndham is used to that stuff. He can give the answers throughout that week, give an exam on Friday, and they'll still fail. But you and I don't have to be like that. We have the questions, we have the answers, and we should, at the judgment seat of Christ, as I said before, we should get everything that God wants us to have. There's no reason we should lose anything at the judgment seat of Christ. We keep a short account. We stay prayed up. We do what's right. We get the gospel message out. We learn the Word of God. And we give that Word of God out. And we teach and train others throughout our lifetime. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we should have everything that you can possibly have that God has for us. Our own fault if we don't. So we show up at the judgment seat. And we get everything that God wants us to have. If you find yourself at the judgment seat of Christ and seeing your rewards burned up, seeing my rewards burned up, who can we blame? We can only blame ourselves. Why? God gave you a Bible. Okay. God gave us preachers and teachers. God gave us churches to assemble in. He gave you the Holy Spirit to live within you, to teach and guide and direct you into every truth. We have no excuse, no reason why we should not receive all that God has for us, why we should stay out of sin, why when that temptation comes. And I've preached messages on this where that temptation comes and we take that and we cast it down, casting down imaginations. And we get the victory because we allow the Lord to live His life in and through us, and we can be a testimony that is a bright shining testimony in this world so that we can continue to reach others. Now, is you know, you're going to get flack, of course, you know. And as I've said, when you're dealing with people, when you're passing out tracts, you don't be a condescending. You don't be condemning. You just very nicely. I'd like you to read this. You don't forget inviting them to church. You know, the important thing is getting the gospel message out. It's not the church that saves the local assembly. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And that's what we need to emphasize. I'd like you to read this. It tells you what the Lord did for me and what He can do for you. Different approaches to different people, different situations. You learn those and you go by that, however the Lord. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you and guide you and direct you. There'll be times when you want to give a tract out, which is the right thing to do, but something will hold you back, and it's not always the wrong thing not to give it out, because the Holy Spirit knows that if you give that out, you could be in starting an argument and causing a scene. So be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that happens very rarely, because God wants that message out. But be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And not only gave us the Holy Spirit, and then He told you how to do it, but He also told us, like I said, what He's going to ask at the judgment seat of Christ. So for the Christian, the life, this life is an investment. Life in general is an investment. You either invest your life in the right things and come out great at the judgment seat of God, or judgment seat of Christ. Hopefully none of us will be at the judgment seat of God. That's the white throne judgment. you invest your life in the wrong things and you lose your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's that simple. Just do what's right. And let me show you what you're going to need to do.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Okay, up there in verse 12 it says about the gold, silver, and precious stones. Every man's work shall be made revealed by fire.
Right.
If that fire's hot enough, that gold and silver's going to melt anyway too. So that those are going to be purified, or how's that going
That's
to work?
It. That when if you've ever studied a foundry where they melt the gold or the silver, that's a purification. That's not to be done away with. It's not to be burned up. It's purified even more. So what you're building on is pure gold, pure silver, and then the precious stones come in afterwards. So it's a purification process, not a burning away process like the wood, hay, and stubble.
Okay, is the, for lack of a better word, the value, gold is more precious than silver.
Right.
Depending on, you know, it just depends on stuff. You know, is there a rewards for the better works or what? Gotcha.
Saying better, all the works are good. Mm-hmm. Some are more needed, I'll say, than others. Okay. I'm trying to think of an example.
Hey, John, when you're talking about different types of works, that's where your crowns come in.
Yeah.
There's, what is it, seven?
Five crowns.
Five crowns. Each crown represents a different type of work.
Right. And we'll cover those probably within next few weeks. And that's what they're going to be in detail. The crowns that we win are the rewards. Now, again, remember, the rewards and inheritances are different. So we want to win as many rewards as possible. And we'll cover those five crowns as to what they are. And it's exciting because it gives you an insight as to what we should be doing. You know, soul winner's crown, they call one. They called one that only pastors can have, but that's a fallacy. It's not just for pastors. It's for anybody that teaches the Word of God, that passes out the Word of God, anybody that's involved in what we call soul winning. And I have to clarify it. It's God that wins the souls. We're the element that... passes out the tracks, or
this could be completely wrong because so let's take teaching. So let's say you're a Sunday school teacher. Let's say that you do your studies, you come in and you work hard. Let's say you do a lousy job of presenting it, but you made an honest effort. You worked very, very hard. Okay, God might say that's valuable, even though it wasn't the greatest thing. On the other hand, you might come and give the most polished piece of nonsense.
Yeah.
As a Sunday school teacher, I mean, I once had a Sunday school teacher who walked in and said, "Well, you know, I just didn't feel like preparing today," and that was the lesson. And I think that would be like the wood, hay, or stubble. That first one we might say.
And here's the
desire. It would be cool.
It's a heart's desire, as I said last week. It's your heart's desire, and it's a. Your works are going to be based on of what sort it is. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why is he on the field or was on the field? And is it just to say, I was out there. Why did I go to the Philippines and Korea? Hey, I was on a mission trip. You know, look what I did. It's like... I'll give you this example, and by that time the bell will probably ring. Don't do this, but sometime sit down and write out, this is what I do for God. I preach. I teach. I pass out gospel tracts. And If you're right with God, God will take that. When I was pastoring, I preached the Word of God. And I says, yes, Lord, I preach the word of God. He says, do you get paid for that? Yeah. Do you enjoy that? Yeah. Scratch that off the list. Are you supposed to be doing that? Yeah. Same with passing out tracts. Hey, Lord, I did this. I passed out. And it used to be you got to pass out 100 tracts a week or you're not right with God. I passed out so many tracts. Aren't you supposed to be doing that, John? Yeah. Scratch that off the list. You know, and it gets a little different when you look at it in that light. So, I think it's Luke 19. I forget the verse number. But anyway, it says there that you're going to get rewarded for what you do above and beyond what you're supposed to do. So, I'll cover that in a little more detail. Huh?
It would humble you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so high and mighty. Huh?
Yeah. It brings you down to where you should be before the Lord. What can I do for you, Lord? Whatever it is, I want to do it. I want those rewards. Yeah. It's a heart condition, as I said in the past, and of what sort it is. So keep your heart right, do right, be right, live right. And we'll pick it up next week from there. All right, Ben, pray for us, please.
Precious Father, we thank you for giving us this day. And we certainly thank you for this good Bible study time. Thank you for Brother John for being faithful and helping us this morning. And Lord, I do ask that you'll help our heart be in the right place and help us be what we need to be to help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as they are going through a lot of things. Lord, we do have a lot of things going on in our church house, and our brothers and sisters need our love and our support and help us be there when we're supposed to be and just kind of put our problems to the side and stand with them, Lord. And we are looking forward to some good praise and worship today, and I ask that you be with the man of God as he brings the message. Just prop him up and help him, and help him have the right words that can help us today. Thank you, Lord. For the moments that you remind us, whatever we've been through, Lord, they are precious moments and precious times. And just thank you for those moments
that just held our heart and just
humble us, Father, just so we can see how blessed we truly are on a day-to-day basis, an hour-to-hour basis, and a minute-to-minute basis. You're always there for us, and we thank you for being in control of our lives. Lord, we certainly thank you for your mercy, and certainly thank you for the grace, Lord Jesus. All these things we ask and we thank you for in Jesus' name.